Captured Youth, Steve Davis. In 2005, Steve Davis wrote of his Captured Youth series, quote, "It is my hope that as viewers look at these images, they consider some of the messy and complicated issues surrounding such a great number of young people who live, laugh, and suffer in exile," end quote. And while there are a couple of terms and ideas to unpack before fully understanding his quote, it remains the key to how Davis hoped we would view these pictures, with open eyes and open hearts. These are boys and girls, not men and women, and while many have committed terrible crimes, the way they are treated, housed, and viewed is also a crime, and less justifiable than theirs. Davis started the series in 1997, photographing incarcerated teens in his home state of Washington. He claims that he was not trying to make any statement or force something down anyone's throat, but rather acknowledge that these places are only 20 miles away, often are in our proverbial backyards. It is not surprising that many of us are aware of their proximity of juvenile detention facilities. They are often called schools and sport names more like country clubs than prisons. They might even look beautiful from the road, but you would never see a kid outside. According to Davis, these are, quote, "jails for juniors, full of secrets and hidden from the public eye," end quote. Davis was first drawn by the, quote, "simultaneous vacuity of these institutions and the intensity and passion found in the faces of their young residents," end quote. And it was the faces that he asked to do the talking. However, it was not Davis that took the pictures. He asked the teens to. The images you see in front of you are from three workshops Davis did in separate schools, Maple Lane and Green Hill, both facilities for boys, and the Reman Hall School for Girls. In Brooks' words, by, quote, "giving kids a camera, Davis gives them a chance," end quote. A chance for what? For creative storytelling, for a visual voice, for someone to see what they see and in doing so affirm their realities. Also, by giving the cameras to the juveniles outside of structured workshop time, the boys made images that no professional photographer would have captured. What does it look like when the visitors have left and the doors close in a final resounding clang? Those are the pictures we get to see when the prisoner controls the camera, a situation that seldom arises. At the Reman Hall School for Girls, for legal reasons, no images could identify the girls themselves. However, the anonymity, as we have seen elsewhere in this gallery, does not diminish the power of the image. The use of pinhole cameras and long exposures erased individual identities but forged a collective one. The results are eerie and morose, and surprisingly not cliché. According to Brooke, quote, "cliché is not a problem here, but a catalyst," end quote. When a member from within a community represents the community, the representation is above a certain criteria for criticism. When a girl repeats a motif of the fetal position or a hidden face, just due to the fact that they have posed themselves like that, this often tired composition is completely renewed. These aren't images taken for art careerism, journalism, or state identification. These are documents of a rarefied moment, when the kid and criminal had the final say in how they were represented. The selection of shots of and by juveniles exude an overwhelmingly common effect and cause a recognition in the audience, that of the psychological brutality of cinder block confinements. No child will grow up free after years inside these cells.